You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to the after party for Outcast, episode 10, This Little Light, with Chris and Richard.
Morning. So I love the way that this came to like a really happy conclusion. Everything was wrapped up really. Oh, no.
No. Not even a tiny bit.
No.
However, now we get, Kyle gets his little super assistant sidekick, his daughter, who's got the same superpowers.
Exorcist girl.
Which I could have told you.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Oh, and also your least liked character's dead.
Yes.
In successive weeks, we got rid of the character you liked least because he was a bit boring. Mark.
Yeah.
And the character you liked least because he was an evil little shit.
Yeah, didn't even have...
Redhead Satan Spawn.
Didn't even have the excuse of being possessed. He was just naturally a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's all... For the best thing for everyone, that kid never grew up.
Yeah.
It's all
good
saying.
And fine. Not a problem for anyone at all.
As well as that moment of shock that comes when you realized... Only now are the Reverend and Kyle figuring out that whether or not people are in a coma or survive when they exercise them is based on how long it's been.
Yes.
That they were
so it was like
did you guys?
Fast.
We figured that out like six episodes ago. How did you guys not notice that?
Congratulations, dum-dums.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wait, are you seriously only now having this discussion?
Which now does raise the interesting question. Because he's been worried, you know, Kyle has managed to convince himself and therefore, by accident, convinces his ex-wife that she may still have some vestige of whatever was going on and was going wrong. So, but it seems that, you know, he got her when she was first taken over by whatever these things are. End of the first season, still no clearer definition. But if he got there early enough... Does that mean that she's actually in the clear, and that she may actually be fine? Which makes the fact that she's now locked herself up in the local mental institution even more depressing.
Yes.
Yes.
Like I said, I think she's decided she's crazy, and that's what makes her crazy. She's not actually crazy.
Mm-hmm.
She's crazy because she thinks she's crazy, even though she's not crazy.
Yeah.
She's been very complicated, and I will provide a mathematical formula
she's
for
not
anyone
delusional.
Who's interested.
She's depressed.
Yes.
And she's depressed because she thinks she's delusional.
Yes.
Yes.
It's very complicated.
Yes.
It's a serpent with a tail in its own mouth.
Whoop.
It's a monkey eating...
A robot.
It's a monkey eating Jack and Meg's food.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah. that was a reference to Chris's cats, in case the audience didn't know.
They've heard all their names enough.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually surprised I've never gotten monkey fan art at this point.
Okay. Next step. Written on the back of a signed check, just leave the total blank.
Yeah, I like that. I like the way you think. Yeah, that's smart. Yeah, a lot of this episode is just the search for Megan.
Yes.
As she's wandering around going like, what
naked.
Is this new world? Yeah.
Naked.
Yeah. Almost fucking like a fast food employee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After pulling a large piece of glass out of a dying husband's neck.
Yeah. And the moment where she's just pushing on his dead eyeball. Which is going to be, in and of itself, might be something that is going to cause problems for her, because if they do a full autopsy and someone notices there's a fingerprint on his eyeball, they'd be like, well, that wasn't something that happens accidentally.
Yeah, my suspicion is that, you know, Giles is going to make sure that nonsense doesn't happen.
True. Presumably
Giles is now on board with the whole, let's try and make sure that this shit doesn't fall apart too fast and we've got bigger fish to fry.
That's entirely something that might make Giles have a limited life expectancy as well.
Well, I think the way Sydney does business. I think at this point, nobody should get too wedded to anybody. Well, more importantly, Sydney's not going to want another of his kind. In prison, is he?
No, but Sydney isn't always the best at doing his job either. I mean, like the whole thing with like when he kidnaps Amber and then kidnaps Kyle and then locks him in this room that is remarkably simple to break out of.
Yes,
I was like, you're not real good at this, are you?
Well, considering that, you know, the part of him that would actually be good at this is, you know, the child molesting serial killer, which is the part he keeps trying to suppress.
True.
You kind of got to feel sorry for you know, evil demons Sydney. He's kind of, you know, the rest of them are going like, oh, look at all the nice things I did, and I used to help out around the church, and I'm an adorable old lady. And he's like, can't go into 15 states, can't go within 300 foot of a school.
Yes. So he is limited in his power, is what you're saying.
Although still slightly less bozo-ish than the Reverend, who this week manages to add child-killing to his own roster, so him and Sydney have now got something to talk about.
Yeah, once again, makes a huge mistake.
Oh,
the
my
Reverend
God.
Just can't do nothing right.
Yeah,
so far, I think the only thing he's done successful that was helpful in any way was breaking into the mannequin warehouse and taking the tire iron instead of the religious bag, which he was looking at, you know.
Yeah.
That was the only smart decision he's
even
made then, this entire season.
Even though he's pretty spectacularly useless in a fist fight.
That is true.
Which does make the tire iron an even better investment.
Yes. Yeah, he needs some sort of advantage because his fists just aren't one, because he really rather spectacularly loses every fist fight he's been in.
Yes.
I like the old
people. He also needs to invest in contact lenses. If you're going to get into that many fights.
Yes, you can't be wearing glasses.
Yeah.
I mean, that old, you wouldn't hit a guy with glasses thing hasn't worked since 1932. Just saying. Now, also, it looks like Kyle is, thinking road trip, but I don't think the town's going to let him leave.
Oh, you mean the invasion of the body snatchers ending?
Yeah, where you look around and you go, there's a lot more of them than we've seen so far, as I had previously suggested.
Well, I mean, it is the most sensible thing for him to do is to get the hell away from Dodge, but you know, the town is clearly not going to let him do that because, Sydney has built up this little enclave around him. Plus, there's the additional problem which Sydney has expressed. It's like, it's not our fault. We're drawn to you. We still have no clarification. I mean, let's talk about what we don't know yet and we're at the end of season one. We don't know what the things are.
Yes.
The black goo. We do know how the exorcisms work, how the removal of them works. It is physical contact.
Yeah.
And it is easier the less time they're there. We do know that.
Yes.
We do know that Kyle is the outcast.
And that not only are they drawn to him and he has something inside them that fulfills them in some way, but that he also is the one who is only one who's capable of forcibly ejecting them from a body.
So we know that he is part of their plan. We know that there is something that Sydney needs from him that is very particular.
Hmm.
We know that the arrivals of whatever these things is definitely speeding up because they've got two in one night.
Yes.
Got Megan and the other unknown woman who... tries to pull her own eye out.
Yeah.
Not
good.
So we know all this, but the two core things we don't know are, what are the things?
Yes.
And
aliens is my guess.
Always
extra dimensional.
And what is Kyle? Because
didn't they insinuate that they were from? That they're kind of from right there too. I thought
Well, there's the line where he says we're from. The same place as you.
Yeah.
But the fact that he says we and you, and he's never, Sydney is very specific in his verbiage. He has never said we are the same.
Yes.
He's, there is a connection.
That's why I think that, they occupy the same space, just not the same dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Which could option. Still make them demons.
That's an option. But it's is Kyle a fallen angel, for example? Or what's in Kyle a fallen angel?
Right. Which
would be separate to a demon.
There's a crossover to Preacher, is that what you're saying?
no, because that's Preacher, which now has got to the comics, I hear. we have established now that they are different.
Yes.
We established that Giles is going to do a lot to keep the town safe. We've established that the Reverend is completely incompetent, although he means well, and he's starting to get over his cardinal sin,
yes.
Which is pride.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, finally.
It makes me wonder, though, how useful he is going to be in the narrative, ultimately. Because you're like, well, you don't actually serve a real purpose anymore. Is he a character that they're going to decide to kill off? Or are they going to give him something else that he actually becomes essential for?
I don't know. I mean, he's still dealing with the fact that he doesn't know... he suspects that what these things are is the sign of the oncoming apocalypse.
Yeah, he's still not over that part yet.
No.
Yeah, he's having a real hard time viewing this in any context but, the revelations.
Yeah.
And Kyle lets him know all too firmly, I don't even give a shit if it is revelations. I don't care if it's about the devil... As he says, I don't care about the devil. I just want to get my daughter back.
Yeah,
all he cares about is him and his.
Well, that's why that's why the Reverend's important.
That he's
he keeps Kyle on a little better path. And I think particularly now it's very clear that, you know, Kyle can't run away, and the town is not going to let him run away.
Yes. Yeah, because they, as much as they are fear him, they also need him, desire him, are called towards him. And apparently whenever the whatever happens that they keep referencing, he's going to be essential to that moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't know what the whatever is.
Yeah, the thing that and the thing that they are pulling out of him, they have no self-control about.
Yes.
Which I'm now just calling Kylopium.
What is it? Kylopium?
Kylopium.
Kylopium?
Kylopium.
I like it.
There we go. Whatever that is, that seems to fit into their plans, and that's why Sidney, as was established with Grace Briskin's character, is terrified that one of his morons is going to use it all up before whatever it is that he needs from it.
Yes.
And I love the fact that they managed to spin out those components of the mystery so well, and I'm not frustrated with it.
No.
It's like, oh, this has been really, really good at parceling out little bits of information, building up a big ensemble cast. I mean, the one thing I would say at this point is I'd actually like a little bit more Kyle. I think the last few episodes have drifted away from him a little bit too much.
I agree.
And I'd like more of a focus on him. I think that's going to be easier now you've got him and Amber. I think that's going to be a little, you know, you can put the focus back on them a bit.
Well,
more.
There's definitely going to be some drama when basically Megan, who they've all said, okay, the adults are like, we can't let her know she did this, but her daughter is completely fucking traumatized and saw it, as did Kyle's daughter. So it's going to be a real hard time keeping the secret from her. And at this point, I think it may be time to just open up to Megan and tell her the whole truth about what's going on in this fucking town.
It's about time.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not protecting her anymore.
No.
To keep that secret from her as we're nearing the cusp of this whatever kind of apocalypse is on the way.
Yeah. And what does this mean with Evil Duncan?
Which one is Duncan?
Not Duncan. Rapist.
Donnie.
Donnie.
Yeah.
Evil Donnie.
Yeah, who we've seen almost nothing of, well, altogether.
Yeah, in about six episodes.
He's shown up once or twice in this whole show, and yesterday in a flashback for, like, literally an eighth of a second.
Yeah.
I don't know. He almost feels like a plot element that they just changed their minds about. You know, like, oh, this is going to be a thing. Oh, it's not going to be a thing.
No.
You know, it's very Lost. Remember that from a season and a half ago? Oh, yeah, whatever happened to that? Shut up.
No, well, I think the thing is that now that Mark's out of the picture, and I have a funny feeling Donnie will be back.
Yeah,
I
think so, too. Yeah.
Because now you
she's got no one to protect her.
Yeah.
Or at least no one who can be there full time to protect
Donnie her. Donnie is kind of a shock, so I suspect he's back. I've got to say, I mean, we're at the end of season one. I have really, really enjoyed the show.
I mean,
it hasn't had the kind of big press that, for example, Preacher has. But at the same time, I don't know anybody who's watching it who has been as consistently annoyed or bored of it as a lot of people have with Preacher.
No, there has been no episode of Outcast where I was like, well, that was a waste of my time.
Yeah.
The way Preacher has about half of them, I was like, well, that was boring and nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know, Outcast is just a better show so far.
Yeah.
Now, maybe Preacher is going to evolve in the second season when they're finally, oh, yeah, we should actually still tell a story that was in one of the comic books.
Or have a plot.
Or have a plot.
Well, I mean, the fact that they're going, no, come back, Saint of Killers is here, you know, I think they've got more problems than they know. And I, you know, whereas with this, I'm just like, okay, you don't need to put anything else into this equation. I want you to talk about what you're already doing.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, I mean, again, let's just kind of list off things we've got to deal with. Why are the for next season? Why are the numbers accelerating? What is it Sydney needs from Kyle? What the fuck is the Reverend going to do? Because frankly, he has screwed his own pooch pretty seriously.
Nobody in this whole town takes him seriously at this point, except Kyle, and even he's kind of like, okay, calm down, little doggy.
Yeah. the fact that he may have, you know, he just killed the worst child in the world.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure that won't come back to haunt him.
And the fact that, you know, Megan's going to be going, so, widow, now why is my daughter looking all funny at me?
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff for season two. That's all I'm saying.
And
a lot
what
of stuff.
Amber is even more powerful than her dad?
That is an interesting question.
Yeah? What if she exhibits abilities even he doesn't have? Like he can force them to dance or something.
Dance. Monkeys dance.
I can't wait.
Neither can I. Looking forward to it.